Hare Krishna with great determined movement, or moved deeply by the sweet effect of residing in Braj with the holy name, we are attempting to go into text 3 of the Braj Vilas Stava. I would like to introduce this section with a verse from the Bhagavatam. When the devotee begins to understand that his senses and his mind are attracted and disturbed by so many outside factors, it is he begins to understand it is impossible for him to remember Krishna and his pastimes on his own, and he needs help. In the first two verses, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami has taken the role of an ordinary sadhaka and described that on his path to pure Krishna consciousness, he is attacked by the highway men, by the gundas, and bound hand and foot. In addition, he notices his own body is not cooperating in his attempts for bhajan, so he has turned to the devotees in this world and to his master, his Swami, Sri Hari, Krishna, who takes away all everything. Prahlad Maharaj has described that when one is so attacked from outside, it's very difficult to remember Krishna. He has prayed, my Lord, my position is like that of a person who has many wives, all trying to attract him in their own way. So such a situation is a situation of really being distracted. So in text 3, Raghunath Das Goswami now takes a turn. He prays, Yanmaduri divya sudara sabde smrite kanena yati lolitatma padye brajastan akilan brajanam chanat vasvanato vatato ditikshe. He says, I so greatly desire to see my two beloved masters, for I have become overwhelmed by a drop of remembrance of the ocean of their transcendental sweetness. And I am now Lolita, very restless and greedy to get more of this nectar. Thus, through these verses, I offer my obeisances at the lotus feet of all the inhabitants of Braj and the abode of Braj herself. By their mercy, I desire to attain the darshan of my most worshipable Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. So, Raghunath Goswami describes he has been overwhelmed with a drop of memorizing Radha and Krishna. The Sanskrit word is smriti, kanina, drop of that love. But what this means is when a sadhaka or a devotee in this world sometimes gets a drop or a sudden spurti or transcendental vision, it comes. This has been compared by our acharyas with what happens to a traveler in the night. he is traveling through a darkened area, and all of a sudden it so happens that there is a flash from the rain-laden, the water-laden clouds. And this flash is enlightening the dark moon night, where there is no moon and no light. So in the same way, the traveler on the path of bhakti sometimes gets a sudden drop of sweetness of Radha and Krishna. Those of you who are doing Govardhan Parikrama know to treasure these moments when all of a sudden it seems that Giriraj is opening just a little bit his the veil, and one can feel that sweetness. No? This is what even a beginner can feel. However, just like when the flesh in the dark night disappears, at that time the dark night is seen as double as dark. So after a sudden Krishna conscious impression, smriti kanena, graces the devotee, he feels the darkness around him doubles. In Madhurya Kadambini, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes these sudden revelations and what happens when they are lost. He says, "Oh, a jewel suddenly, by some unimaginable good fortune, came into my hands. But alas, it has fallen down. Where has it gone? What an offense have I done? The three worlds have become empty for me, and I feel lonely and abandoned despite being surrounded by relatives and old friends." This happens on the path of bhakti, and every true bhakta should be prepared that there is this sudden revelation. Even Guru Bhagavad Goswami says that by a slight contact with the five potent forms of bhakti, a beginner can feel transcendental ecstasy. So that means when we are, for instance, in the Dharma, which is one of the five potent forms of devotional service, Dharma Vasa, even if we are absolute neophytes and beginners, we can feel a touch of devotional ecstasy, but it disappears. And at that moment, we see the world dark, and we feel desperate. This desperation is good. If you can't face that emptiness which happens in your devotional life upon losing the spiritual realization and being no longer so happy in your Krishna consciousness, if you can't face that emptiness and immediately pull all types of diversions into the emptiness, talks with people, shopping, internet, whatever you can think of, then you miss a chance. Feel the emptiness. The emptiness is necessary before you can feel the fullness again. So, what happens also, when a devotee gets blessed with these visions, smriti kanena, a drop of memory, the drop of, it comes in the mind, something, huh? He yearns to have them again and again. Raghunath Goswami, at the time of composing this, is living at Radhakund. He's old, his body is fragile, he is already beyond his 80th year, he became quiet. He is crying day and night for Krishna to appear. Ha Krishna, Ha Radhi. And some sadhakas, I have heard from our Mahanidhi Maharaj, who lives there, say that in the night it is possible to still hear the crying of Raghunath Das Goswami. Yesterday, Ananda Chaitanya spoke of an interesting meeting in Haridwar, where he met a Swami who had studied science and who said that all sound vibrations are recorded in the subtle air, and it would be interesting to develop a machine which can catch the kirtan of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. This was what the Swami said. So yes, also today I've read in some book that yes, all the devotional atmosphere is devotional practices are in the air, and that's why we like to be at Radhakund and Govardhan, because in thousands of years innumerable sadhakas have filled this atmosphere with their prayers and their chanting. It is imbuing, it is leaving some influence on us, just like also the Hindi rays which are everywhere going in and out through us. Oh yeah. So the question is now, Raghunath Das Goswami describes a drop of the ocean. What is the real ocean of sweetness like? Rupa Goswami has written a book about this ocean of Krishna consciousness called the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and he has described that just like on a real ocean, on this ocean there are the high waves coming up and down of rasa. What this means really is that there are different relationships with Krishna, different sweetnesses. This ocean, I've just looked in a little of Rupa Goswami's writing. I will just bring one aspect of this ocean of sweetness, which Rupa Goswami describes in Utkala Kalikavalari. He says, Krishna's form is more splendid than the blossoming lotus flower or blue sapphire, and Radha's form is more effulgent than molten gold. So there's this dark blue from the sapphire and the effulgent gold that is there. Krishna's dhoti is more splendid than lightning, and Radha's silken garments are more splendid than musk. They are dark or blue. Today Radha and Krishna have switched colors. But it's very important to note, it's very much effulgent. Their splendor illuminates all directions. This is described in the other, in Krishna Bhavanamrita, when Radha walks through the forest, her golden effulgence, her splendor, is tainting the whole forest with a very nice color. And it is described when Krishna comes home, this is from Brihad Bhagavatamrita, in the afternoon, what the Brijvasis first hear is that the mooing of the cows. The transcendental crew of Krishna and his cows and cowboys come closer, the Brijvasis see a dust cloud. actually dust cloud is what they see first, and then they hear the mooing of the cows, and then they hear a flute concert, and then all of a sudden, please mark, they have not seen Krishna, all of a sudden an effulgence of a bright sapphire just splashes over Braj, and they see the color of Krishna's effulgence, which is bluish. In Krishna Kanamrita, we hear about this ocean of sweetness. When Radha expresses an inability, is this light which comes? Is this the sun which comes? And only after some time she sees that there are hands and there's a flute in that light, and she becomes overwhelmed by this. So the point here is that this is the rasa, the ocean of rasa, which is composed of Radha and Krishna, and the loving dealings which are there, is very splendorous. It's like it's very effulgent. Prabhupada used to also say, ordinarily Krishna's color is described to be black, but it's full of light. It's not dark. So this, therefore we can say, not only in an analogical sense, that when Krishna makes his appearance in the consciousness of the sadhaka, it is often accompanied with a great enlightenment, and just a little light in the darkness gives the sadhaka great, great satisfaction. So now, Rupa Raghunath Goswami, I'm sorry, has said, I greatly desire to see my beloved two masters, and I'm very restless with this. Something came in me, some drop came in me. Now I will offer verses, and through these verses I offer my obeisances. Please listen to this carefully, at the lotus feet of all inhabitants of Braj and the abode of Braj. By their mercy, I desire to attain the darshan of my most worshipable Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. Rupa Goswami has written this, that the land of Braj can give you a vision of Radha and Krishna. He has written, O Vrindavan's forest, who among your devoted servants has not become successful in attaining the path of supreme transcendental bliss? Who has, of all those who have come here, who has not been successful? I humbly beg you, please reveal in my heart the best ways to attain my king and queen. Even the dust particle can give you love for Radha Krishna, the path to attain Krishna. Even the dust is worshipable for you. What to speak of the dogs? What to speak of the human residents of Vrindavan? What is with the mosquitoes, someone has asked. I live in this constant dilemma because, according to one information, the mosquitoes are considered to be those who attack you with deadly poison, malaria, and you can bang them on the head for that. I have asked the Brijbasi how they do this. If everyone in Braj is worshipable, what do you do with the mosquito? They say, you can kill them, but not in the month of Kartik. Because in the month of Kartik, Radharani is very, very merciful to all living entities. So I had a mosquito today, and I remember this, and I just said, you're lucky it's the month of God. I will spare your life if you don't attack me. Let's make a truce, you know. But if you attack me, I don't know on what philosophical ground I will stand. But my point here, the point is here, Vrindavan's forest is a desire-filled forest. Giriraj, you can pray to Giriraj. He can fulfill all your desires. The Brijbasis say about Giriraj that he fulfills all desires very easily, except for one desire. Schoolboys know this. Before going on going to the examination, they will do the dutiful, very fast Govardhan Parikrama, where they pray to pass the exam, and they usually pass. Giriraj gives such desires very easily. But if you desire to have love of Radha and Krishna, he will say, okay, let's see what he wants next year. That's how he sees. Then he makes a check next year. Is he still wanting this, or is he now wanting to have a car or pass the examination or get his children properly married or whatever, you know? And next year, again, he goes, he's still praying, he's stubbornly praying, but I am a little hesitant to give this so easily. Let us see what he wants next year. So you have to convince Giriraj, not when you want material things that he gives, but if he wants spiritual things, he keeps it a little bit. So the land of Braj is worshipable for us devotees, because we know that even so-called inanimate beings like the dust or whatever have consciousness here, because it's the land of consciousness, and it can reveal, it can pray. Let me say, it can fulfill your prayers. Of course, while you are here in Boma Vrindavan, you have to be very careful to not be deceived by the thin veneer or thin layer which covers a Braj from the eyes of from the material eyes. You can actually see the earthly Vrindavan in the right way only if you look through the eyes of the Shastra, or if you are very humble and bowing down, understanding theoretically everything is divine. Rupa Goswami gives many examples to whom we can pray. He prays to Vrinda Devi, the keeper of the forest, and finally Rupa Goswami, and Raghunath has everything he has from Rupa Goswami. Raghunath Goswami says, O affectionate people who enjoy transcendental pastimes in this place with the son and daughter of the best of Gopas, please hear me and be merciful to me. If you stay in Braj, pray to the land of Vrindavan and pray to the inhabitants of Vrindavan, both the earthly and the unmanifest inhabitants, to get a vision of Lord. I will end by telling you my favorite story on the subject of praying to the inhabitants of Vrindavan to get a divine vision. The example is one Dukhi Krishna Das. His parents had died when he was quite young, and he came to Braj and became got the service from Jiva Goswami to sweep Nidovan regularly. So one morning he had chanted in the night, and he used to sweep when it was just very, very early. One morning, after chanting the whole night, he went out into the forest of Nidovan, you know, these small little trees, and he took his jaru and began to sweep the ground, praying intensely. The practice in those days was these great souls would chant the name and remember the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. He just prayed and prayed, and all of a sudden he found an extraordinary, brilliant bangle, you know, for this, put around the ankle. He saw that, and he knew this is not to be found in this world. He immediately put it under his cloth. He just wanted to go when he saw an old lady. The lady, in some anxiety, approached him and said, "Have you seen a bangle my daughter-in-law has lost this? It might create some stir in the family when she has not this bangle." Lord Krishna, "Who are you?" he asked this lady. The lady said, "I'm so and so. From where do you, in which village do you live?" We live, my darling Lord, we live in such and such village. I know this village. Everyone is very poor. No one has such a bangle there. Who are you? Don't deceive me." "What does it matter to you?" said the old lady. She was clearly reluctant to reveal anything more than she had said already. "I so much yearn to see my Swami, my Sri Radhika. Please help me, if you can help me." The old lady all of a sudden said, "All right," and transformed into a beautiful Lalita. Sari with a pattern of peacocks, peacock feather. "So now it's in you have seen enough. Give me the bangle." Dukhi Krishna said, "No. I will give that bangle personally. Bring me to your divine mistress. Bring me to Sri Radhika." Lalita said, "You won't be able to behold her. But we can do something, so you come along." And she brought him to Radhakund, asked him to take a bath, and after the bath was completed, she brought Dukhi Krishna to Hare Krishna, come in, welcome. So a brilliant throne. And there Srimati Radhika was sitting and sobbing and crying in ecstasy. Dukhi Krishna handled the anchor bell that Radha took and printed some imprint here, which formed a tilak. and said, from this day on, your name will be Shyamananda, he who gives Ananda to Shyam. And then Shyamananda, and now it is time for you to leave. Shyamananda didn't want to leave, obviously, but then Radha gave him a deity of her beloved Shyam and said, this deity has manifested from my own heart, it's my dear and beloved, and you will worship him, and in this way be connected always. This deity apparently can be still seen at the Shyamananda Radha Shyam Sunda temple in Vrindavan. You can still see it. It's at the entrance of Loi Bazaar. It's a small gully into the land. So this is a sign how the land of Vrindavan, the dust of Vrindavan in this case, has fulfilled the desire of a sadhaka. The dust of Vrindavan has done this to Shyamananda, so that he was able to meet Lalita Sakhi, and then Lalita Sakhi helped him further on his journey until he had the meeting of his divine Ishtadeva, Srimati Radha. This is how powerful the land of Vrindavan is in revealing Radha and Krishna. It's written in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that anyone who comes to this area at the bank of the Yamuna will become very much attracted to bhakti and to the object of bhakti, that is Shyam Sundar Krishna. That is stated by Rupa Goswami, that even upon mere touch with this land, one can do, one can have this. But let us not forget Raghunath Das Goswami's two opening verses, and we will be reminded again and again of these two verses to honestly understand our situation as being really attacked by many obstacles on our path, and therefore the need to call out to devotees and to Radha and Krishna in a plaintive voice. So let us again hear this verse, and then we will put Braj Vilas Stava to rest for today. I greatly desire to see my beloved two masters. Just imagine Raghunath Das Goswami, his heart is brimming with eagerness. I greatly desire to see my beloved two masters, for I have become overwhelmed by a drop of remembrance of the ocean of their transcendental sweetness, and I am now very restless. Thus, through these verses, I offer my obeisances at the lotus feet of all inhabitants of Braja and the abode of Braj. By their mercy, I desire to attain the darshan of my most worshipable Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. So I have one little inspiration for all of us. When you go to rest, please go again in your memory through the verse of Braj Vilas Stava, to this verse, and in that way something can stick to your heart, and you can also start to pray to the inhabitants of Vrindavan for transcendental revelations to appeal. It's actually on a personal note, I want to say that I'm yearning the whole year to come to Braj. And this evening I knew why. I'd taken my red bicycle, Zauze Braus, and driven to Govindakund, and to stay there and chanted some rounds for only an hour. It was not long. And then I thought, bing bing, there's in the distance the bells of the arti, bing 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 bing. It was the Gopal idea. I thought, let me go to Gopal and see Gopal. So I went in. There was no electricity, but some of the pujari had put a little, how you call this, a little lamp, a ghee lamp, just next to the face, so you could see Gopal's face. Everything else was dark. He had a dot on his chin, which looked very effulgent due to the light which was coming. And then the pujari offered a lamp, and then of course you could see much more. And I was just standing there, the ding 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 ding, listening to the Arctic gongs and praying to Gopal. And then after the arti was finished, I left the temple and stood a little on the side over Govindakund to Govardhan. And at that moment something happened which every visitor to Braj can feel. You are in a prayerful mood, and all of a sudden your heart totally relaxes. There's nothing left than what is this? Mriti Kanana, a little drop of remembrance or thinking or an impression in the heart. How wonderful this Bhuma Vrindavan is. Everything is so nice and so sweet, and the drop has come through. Maybe an hour before, as you were driving on the road, you only heard and crazy traffic, and no rules and regulations, which is very difficult for a German to accept in traffic. You come in one way and then someone comes on your side of the road and really doesn't care that you are there. And so you were in material consciousness just a moment before. Now you stand at Govindakund, and all of a sudden that thin veneer opens, because somehow you were at an aratik and you have some devotional impressions from this, and the miracle of Braj happens to you. And then you know this land can really give the darshan of Radha and Krishna one day. So tomorrow the prayers will continue, but we will end here. Shri Raghunath Das Goswami ki jai. Shri Braj Vilas Dava ki jai. Shri Giriraj Govardhan ki jai. Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari Bol. Hare Krishna.